Okie dokie. Here we go for Fallout. Yeah, I see. Yeah, you're repping the Maple Leafs jersey there.
As of time of recording, the series is tied at 1-1. I was at the tailgate last night. It was hype. Go Leafs, go. Is this going to bite me in the future? Probably. That's what the Leafs do.
That's what this podcast does.
Right now,
I'm
hyped. Yeah.
Yeah, well, let's hope we don't have any opinions that age like milk about Fallout. So, yeah, that's what we're here to talk about today, is the new Fallout TV series based on the video games of the same name. But you probably know that already. Full spoilers for the series ahead. By the way, I'm Joe.
Didn't I'm Ryan, names. If you didn't know.
Yeah, that's what you get at episode 103 or whatever. We don't need to say our names up top anymore. You should just know by
now.
Hold
on, I gotta change the background. Boop. There we go.
Green. Yeah, so let's go into our medium shot now. Ryan, tell me your history with the Fallout franchise.
So I own Fallout 4. I believe it was a Christmas gift. I got it when it was, like, when it was popping off back in
2015.
Was it 16? 15? Yeah.
15.
Around that time. And I played upwards of 5 hours of it, and then I got bored. Just because it's not that I'm not saying it's a bad game. It just wasn't for me. I was more of a Skyrim guy, like more into the fantasy than post-apocalyptic worlds. I'm very famously, I think, known, or I've told people I do not like post-apocalyptic stuff that much. I just find they mesh together unless they're like really unique, like Fallout. But I just couldn't get into it, like the whole gameplay when I was younger. I might give it a chance now after this. But from what I played of it, it was, you know, it was fine. It just wasn't for me. But other than that, I knew about Fallout growing up. Just never really gave it a chance. And then the show came out. And then I just kept hearing from work. I was like, oh, you got to watch it. I was like, oh, I don't really know about it. And then Joe's like, hey, are you binging Fallout? Because we need a second episode this week. I was like, oh, you're right. Might as well watch Fallout.
Yeah, I also hopped on to Fallout around Fallout 4. I know a lot of my friends played Fallout 3 back in the day when that first came out, but it's just not a bandwagon I ever hopped on at that time. But I played quite a lot of Fallout 4. I probably put, well, you got about 5 hours into it. I probably got 60 some odd hours into it before I started petering out. But my problem was I wasn't bored. I was too obsessed at first. I've spent like all day playing Fallout. I probably had more binge sessions in Fallout than most other games I've played. Fallout 4, I was just enamored by for a very long time until the gameplay loop started bugging me. But then I came back to it a couple years later. I beat it and I was still obsessed with some time for refresher. So then I bought a bunch of the DLC. Loved that too. Justin loaned me Fallout 3. I played through all that afterwards as well. And I have Fallouts 1, 2 in New Vegas, even Fallout 76 on my Steam list. Need to play those all. So that's where I'm coming from. I'm really just into the Bethesda Fallout, but I'm intrigued by the other Fallouts, which I've heard are very different. And yeah, well, it's okay to just be a fan of Bethesda Fallout, I think, because that's more what this show is based on, if anything. But let's get into our close-up and discuss Fallout, which I'm particularly interested to hear your opinions on this as somebody who has, by your own admission, a very beginner knowledge of what it's all about. I'm a bit more advanced, well, but not, like, expert by any means.
Yeah, I mean, with, like, someone who's very casual about Fallout as just a game and as a series, I didn't really feel a need or want to watch the show because I knew it wasn't going to be for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just watched the first episode, and I was immediately hooked. I thought it was great. I thought it was a great show. I think it's up there with The Last of Us as one of the best video game adaptations of all time.
Yes. And speaking as somebody who, once again, has played a couple of the games that this show is more based off of, I think it's a... The attention to detail in this show is mind-blowing to me. The amount of Easter eggs and references they were able to stuff into it, the understanding of what this world is, the general tone of it, the presentation of it, the art styles, the costumes, the landscapes, the technologies, even the voice acting, all of it is crafted with love and respect for the source material. And this Fallout fan is very pleased with what they did with it. They translated it from game to screen very well. And the reason I think, I liked Last of Us better, mind you. But I also think Last of Us is known for its more emotionally impactful story. Fallout's more known for being just a great world to exist in. Though I think Fallout had a harder time to stand out because this show is adapting an original story based in that world. Last of Us had a roadmap that they just needed to not screw up. Fallout just didn't. All they had to do was not screw the world up, but they also had to make a decent story to hook in people like you who don't really know much about it either. So I think it was even a tougher situation. Just because every Fallout game is about somebody different. It's not just one thing.
Yeah, I do agree. I think I would say The Last of Us show is a bit better, but just like barely, like just by a hair. I think they're both like S-tier shows in terms of adaptation. This is coming from someone who doesn't know much about Fallout to begin with, but I just loved how... Like, this is how you do, like, original content. And I'm looking at you, Paramount, with your fucking Halo show. It's like, if you want to do an original story, and you don't fuck with the world. You adapt the source material. That is the source material. You don't make thousands of different changes just because you feel like you need to in order to make it unique. No, it's just they want to tell an original story in the world of Fallout. And from what I have played so little and have seen and heard reviews, they've done a phenomenal job. I have loved every character in this. Almost every character. There's one that I really don't like, who's kind of a main one, but...
Who's probably the one you're supposed to hate. I'm going to take a guess, yeah.
And it's just like, every actor in the show is phenomenal. Every character is well written, even the ones I don't like. It's just a personal thing. The humor in it is really smart. I died laughing. The action's really well done as well. The production design is crazy. I mean, going from like the last Airbender adaptation, like that production design where everything was basically on like the volume, going to here where there was a lot of practical sets and a lot of practical props and mixture of CGI. It's a huge difference. And even the CGI that's in it is phenomenally well done. I mean, even like the, not to jump ahead too much, but I think it's like the second episode with that lake monster. Really well done CGI. It felt like it was in world. Yeah.
Yeah. Insane. I don't think my immersion was ever broken on this show.
No.
Even the craziest action scenes, like even that episode 8, that last raid on the New California Republic base in the observatory, like even that was all really well handled. Like nothing from the Vertrabirds getting blown out of the sky to the Brotherhood of Steel armor in full action. Just the firefights and everything was immersive. And just sucked you right into the world.
Well done.
Philly as well. The vaults. Vault 33 as well. Vault 32, even the destroyed wreck of that. Where else did they go? Vault 4, the scientific vault. The pre-apocalypse stuff with Cooper Howard.
The pre-apocalypse stuff is amazing, where it's like futuristic but still send like the 50s, 60s vibes. I love that.
That's even basically just like the small Fallout thing with
with the car door sliding inward. It's just like, oh, that's such just a nice touch of an alternate reality of Earth where it's just like, oh, we have this, you know, we're in this nuclear apocalypse, but it's still like small touches that make it differ from real life. I thought that was a neat design.
You know what's kind of funny to me, I'm just thinking about this now, is, well, not this part I'm about to say next, but Fallout in general is a satire of modern America in general, which we'll get into that more thematically, but this is the part I did just think of. Last time I went to New York City, which was about 6 years ago, I'm going to offend our entire American audience probably, but at the time I went there, I felt like I was walking basically through Fallout pretty much in retrospect. I feel like everything I saw there was a dilapidated version of something that was great in the 50s or 60s. I'm like, oh, this must have looked so good when these buildings look like they were made about 70 years ago. And I think they would have looked immaculate then. But I'm walking through abandoned and wrecked and neglected. Like it felt like I'm walking through in America long past its prime. And that's kind of how Fallout just is. It's you're walking through the ruins of this 1950s Americana, which was like America at the height of its, you know, it was in the middle of its post-war boom. The economy was great. They were building left and right. And America hasn't really had a boom like that since then. We kind of just been riding on that infrastructure for the last 70 years as it decays. And Fallout feels kind of the same way. Except for, you know, more obvious retro-futuristic designs. But it's...
Yeah.
It's a great vibe.
I mean, that's what happens when you walk through Harlem at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I mean, I was talking more earlier in the day too, but Harlem as well. Yeah. That's a story.
That's
for
a fun story.
Time.
Yeah.
We got off on the wrong subway stop. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Funny.
Yeah, it ended up in a spot which is pretty well considered very dangerous, like the very specific spot we were at, which we didn't know till later. Yeah, a lot of muggings at that particular area. But yeah, Fallout is just a great vibe. I was just thinking about this earlier, about the color choices used in this show. And I think the color specifically sets it apart from a lot of other post-apocalyptic things because there seems to be this unwritten rule that post-apocalypse should be dull and depressing and dark and it, like the ruins of everything should be, I guess it's a reflection of the emotional state of things. But I like how Fallout goes the other way. Everything is bright and colorful in this world. Maybe in some parts, like the ruins of the futuristic Americana, it's faded, but it's still there. Because the 50s was one of the most colorful times I've ever seen. Or maybe that's just because of the interpretations I've seen of it over the years. But when I look at the advertisements of the time, the fashions, the cars, everything is very colorful in the 50s and this retro-futuristic look of the 50s. So, of course, even in the post-apocalypse 200 years later, what remains of that is also going to be bright and colorful. People in this world are still just getting by. It's still a living, breathing world. It's not completely inhospitable. But that's also the thing about Fallout is it doubles down on dark humor. That's Fallout's shtick. It's all about being super emotionally dark, but making you laugh about it. Like, oh, this is ridiculous, but also kind of true, but also got to laugh about it. Cause what else are you going to do in this situation?
Yeah. One of my favorite jokes, it's such like a throwaway. It's like, I'm sorry for yelling, I got shot in the leg. It's like that old woman in the shop. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the color grading on the show. I liked how, like, again, the reason I don't like post-apocalyptic stuff is because some of it's, like, really dreary or just covered in orange all the time.
But it's not fun.
I found, like, it's not fun. But here there's, like, really vibrant colors, especially when you're in the vault or even in Philly, or you cut between the two different, or the three different main characters, you know, the color scheme changes from here to there. Even in the past, everything looks gorgeous. It's just a nice, beautiful looking show.
The production design is the standout, personally. And the special effects work, the action, like you said, that's all. Like I said, what they needed to do was get the world right, and they did it. They got the tone right, they got the look right, they got the production values, the hair and makeup, the ghouls especially look amazing. That was a great translation. And it's practical too. I was watching a featurette about Walton Goggins and how the first time he looked at himself in the mirror with the ghoul makeup, he was just kind of playing with his face in the mirror, seeing, who is this guy?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the nose removal is CGI, though, isn't it? That's, like, the one thing. Because I've seen behind the scenes of his face with, like, dots on. I'm pretty sure. Because I don't think... You can't, like, remove a nose like that good without CGI. I think that was the only thing that they used was for the nose removal. But everything else, most of it is practical. I mean, that's what they did with Voldemort, so. And that looked pretty seamless, too.
It's very impressive work. Well, what I liked this show right from the first scene where it's the day of the apocalypse. And, yes, and the music. I have to talk about
the
music.
One of the best opening scenes in any television show, I have to say.
Yeah, because once again, if we're talking like on a shallow level, all the music is basically just the music from Fallout 3 and 4. I've heard all those same songs in both games, which is incredible. But that 1950s style, it brought me right into it from the very opening scene. I'm like, okay, I'm reassured. It's going to be okay. The look is right. The sound is right. It feels like Fallout. And it's Cooper Howard's playing this down on his luck Hollywood actor who's forced to do children's birthday parties because, well, we don't know why. He said he's paying alimony. The world is on the brink of apocalypse. Everybody's turning their TVs off, though, because everyone's like, out of sight, out of mind. We don't want to know about it, really. But he's still thinking about it. And, clearly he's got issues. He's got a whole history. And I like that they tease that early on. He's got stuff that happened to him that led him here. My favorite tease was when they asked him to do the thumbs up, because I'm like, oh, he's a Hollywood actor and they're making him do the thumbs up. Is he the guy who inspired the Pip-Boy thumbs up, the Fallout mascot? That's amazing. So
yeah, I didn't catch on to that till the actual thing, because I don't know this world. But yeah, there's a lot of like foreshadowing moments throughout the show that I didn't catch on until like the big reveal, which kind of made me mad at myself. But also I was like, oh, that's just really good foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Like, for example, when Lucy's talking about her mother and back home at Vault 33, where she says she swears she could feel this, like the projector's sun was baking on her skin.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's because she actually was outside. I was like, oh, my God. And then that revealed at the end. I was like, that's just some like hidden foreshadowing that I never even noticed. So good. Yeah.
Yeah. In episode one, I did kind of feel like the Vault 32 people were just off. Like just the way they were acting, they kind of seemed more like savage people.
They were shady.
Like, I don't think you're something about you guys is off. You kind of look and act more like cavemen or something than vault dwellers.
Yeah.
So when they revealed to be from the surface, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew something was off, but I didn't know it was like it was going to be that tragic. I honestly, I thought it was going to like everybody was going to die because that's what it seemed like during the episode. And then later on, they're like, oh, just a few of them. It's like, they're pretty bad raiders then. No, I'm not shitting on the writing. I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. I mean, the Vault Dwellers, it's like Lucy shows in her opening monologue. They do have some combat training. They're more advanced in weaponry and science and medicine, and they're also probably healthier human beings, having gotten decent health care, where the Raiders is, who knows what they suffer from living up there.
As well. Speaking of Lucy, I have to say it. This is not a joke. I love Lucy. Ha ha. Reference.
50s reference.
I think she's great. I think she is one of the best protagonists in any television show in modern time. Because she is a fish out of water, but she's capable. You know what I mean? Like, she's...
But she's not too clearly capable. She's got room to grow.
Yeah, she's... Like, she's capable physically and mentally, but she's naive. Like, that's her fault. She's just so naive about the real world. And I love that. I love her as a character. I love her as a protagonist. And I just love her character progression throughout this entire show. How she kind of becomes more hardened by the wasteland and by the ghoul as well. I love some of the choices she made. There was actual consequences, even though they kind of got switched later, but it's the Fallout universe. Like, when she bit off the ghoul's finger and then he immediately cut off her finger. I was like,
this is the closest thing we've had to a real exchange.
Yeah.
Honest exchange or something.
I think I immediately clapped. Just like, I was like, oh my God, a show that has consequences. It was just, and I'm watching the show by myself. But yeah, I love Lucy's character. And I love the actress, Ella Purnell, who I voiced Jinx in Arcane. So that's two major roles in video game adaptations that are considered phenomenal. So she's killing it. Makes you think she should do a third.
Lucy is great to me because she's got all the qualities of a hero that I like. She's driven by compassion and idealism, and she honestly thinks her and her people can make the world a better place, even though she's very brainwashed about that. She goes out of her way to save her brother. Her whole thing is, I'm going to go save my father. She's even polite to, like, the creepy water farmer who proposes marriage to her, or everyone who gives her crap. She's, like, super polite to.
I'm probably going to die in a couple days.
it's okay.
It wouldn't be for long. Oh, no.
Or even the guy with one eye. She's trying so hard not to say anything about it. She really wants, but she's just a polite person. Or even when Maximus tells her, oh, well, you know, I killed my knight and I've been lying to you. And she's like, no, I understand. Look, I just threw acid in an innocent guy's face and I've only been up here for 2 weeks. Like, she's she understands and looks out for the best in people. And she's just a very understanding person. And sometimes that comes from her naivete, and sometimes that bites her in the ass. Like when the ghoul, you know, ropes her up and leads her through the wastelands and, like, okay, well, maybe she shouldn't have been nice to him. And, you know, even after he sells her to get her organs harvested, she still gives him his antidote afterwards because that's what she believes in.
Yeah. I think she's a phenomenal protagonist, and definitely one that will be iconic as the show goes on, because it has been renewed for a second season, which is great.
I'm very glad.
Going back to when you said, like, the Maximus, when he revealed who he really was, I'm so glad that they didn't do, like, the liar reveal cliche when he reveals that he's been lying and she breaks off him from, like, an episode or two. You lied? Okay, I get it.
People are in fucking
hell.
Yeah.
People up here do that all the time.
Because she's seen through his... It's because she sees that what he says doesn't really matter so much as his actions. And so far as she's seen, he's the kind of guy who will stand up for her and work towards a good common goal. She believes his heart's in the right place, even if his actions are driven by his bad surroundings and necessity. So,
yeah.
Like, even that at the end, scene? I think... Which one? The bridge
scene? The bridge scene?
Yeah, that was fantastic.
With the fiends?
That was a great standoff.
Intense. It was shot beautifully, too. Like, you don't see them until the characters get closer. So you're, like, stuck in their POV the whole time. Yeah. I just liked where, like, Maximus pauses, and you're like, what? And then you see two other people on the bridge. You're like, oh, fuck.
It's just two guys. You're just me, like, it's just, oh. it's just two people it's just two guys, on the right? other side of the bridge.
Are you armed? No. Are you? No.
No.
And everybody's armed.
And everybody's, you know that, too, because you can see the gun on Lucy's hip. You know they're armed, so you know the other people are armed, too. It's a great moral quandary there. Can they get through this without bloodshed?
Nope.
And I also like how they were that close, but it was just when the one woman saw Lucy's Pip-Boy and got greedy.
Yes.
That's what set that it over the edge.
That was a good show, don't tell moment. I was just like, oh. Yeah. I think in that shop, too, is it Majun? Yeah, Majun's shop. I think she was also selling a Pip-Boy. Or there was one in the shop somewhere.
For somebody who hates vault dwellers that much, it's funny that she's basically in charge of a Vault Tech memorabilia shop.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. It's funny also, even though I'm not a huge fan of the games, but even though I might go back and play some because of the show. Seeing the bobblehead pop up everywhere is really funny, I own a bobblehead from like a loot crate. So I just have a Vault Boy bobblehead.
That was great.
Oh no, it's just like personal things. Like, and I think that's what's great about this show and the head producer who also worked on Westworld. Is it Jonathan Nolan?
And Lisa Joy. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that Amazon just threw like a bucket of cash at him and was like, you do your passion thing because we trust you from Westworld. And the fact that he's able to throw in like these little moments or little references for even people like me who aren't that huge on the universe. It's just the little things that make this show really great.
What I liked about, speaking of jumping off on that, I really liked the first half of the show specifically because every scene basically felt like a side quest. The way it was edited and put together, every scene was like, I think it was specifically of episode 2, like Lucy's interaction with that water farmer, that's like a self-contained side quest, or Maximus when he first gets the power armor and he's got to make that moral decision of like, oh, he sees the farmer fighting this guy and threatening to kill him, so of course I'm going to save the guy. Wait, he was screwing the chickens? Oh, maybe I made the wrong call.
Yeah.
But it was kind of self-contained.
The whole story and side stories felt like it was a video game.
Yeah.
Like the main story is I got to find my dad. And then all the side quests that she goes on or side stories were really entertaining. I was never really bored with Lucy's story, which I thought was great. There's, that farmer, the robot with the harvesting the organs. I thought that was great. I was never bored watching Lucy.
And that's one of my problems with it. One of my problems more as it went was that it started feeling more like a conventional TV show through the structuring in the back half. They started focusing more on the main plot to the detriment of the side questing, which, once again, in the Fallout games, the main plot is kind of just there to drive you forward and make you experience all the side quests. So when they started dropping more of those and focusing up, I'm like, okay, I'm sure a lot of people will enjoy this more now that they're getting to the point. But I liked more just getting to see the world. Mind you, I did think the main plot paid off pretty well, but it was kind of noticeable how they were going for more of a side questy vibe in the first half and then started focusing up in the back half. That also reminds me of my favorite line in the show when Lucy's talking to the ghoul about the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have done unto you. And he says, the wasteland has its own golden rule. Thou shalt be sidetracked by bullshit every goddamn time.
Yeah. I love the ghoul.
That's a gamer line right there. That's for the gamers.
Yeah.
The ghoul gets
pretty funny.
He gets all the best lines.
Yeah. But I agree with you. I did feel like the main story was sort of not the main focus for like the first half and was more focused on. So there is like a little bit of a pacing issue, especially with like the Vault 33 side plot with Norm.
That was so boring in the first half of the show. I didn't vibe with that at all till like episode 5.
I think the problem with it was like that was the only thing going on in that vault too, was like him trying to figure out what happened in 32.
Yeah.
And there wasn't really much besides like the election, but that didn't really matter either. Other than that, yeah, I think the main story definitely took a back seat, but when you finally got to the end, I think the payoff was good. I think the whole reveal of, you know, who Lucy's dad is, and no, he's not Paul Atreides. it's the main actor from the 80s movie. I thought that was funny. His whole backstory, and he's actually from, you know, the past, and most of them are from the past, and what he did to Lucy's mom. I thought that was a good payoff. I will slap myself on the wrist, though, because as soon as Lucy walked into that room with Moldaver, his dad, and then the zombie woman, I immediately was like, that's the mom, isn't it? Just like, I guessed it right away.
I didn't know what that was all about. I was trying to figure it out in my own mind. I'm like, what? Who is this ghoul woman?
Yeah, because there's no reason for her to be there if it's not like a ghoul person. But I was immediately like, that's the mom, isn't it? Just like as a joke to myself, and it was revealed to be her. And I think it's a good reveal. I think it's a good like story thing. Like, oh, she kept her friend alive all this time to see through their mission to the end. But it's another like slap myself on the wrist for guessing the twist.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought Moldaver was an interesting character because they kind of subverted my expectations with her. And it's another one of those things I slapped myself for in the first episode for not picking up on or not thinking too hard about that one line where she tells Lucy, oh, you look like your mother. Like, there was a whole history with her parents before. And then the show distracts you and you never really think about that bit again till Norm starts investigating and realizing there's issues with the parents. Yeah. Like, oh, they got into Vault 32 with my mom's Pip-Boy. How'd that happen? What's going on there?
Yeah, I kind of wish they focused more on. I wish they focused more on the mom, but also her story is like, it's just too simple to like focus so hard on it at the same time. I thought Moldiver was an interesting. She was set up well, like as a major villain for like the first couple episodes.
Yeah.
But she wasn't really a villain. I guess that's the twist. But I did character.
What I liked about that twist was that it kind of, in a way, without focusing on Moldaver too much, it pays off Lucy's journey. Because
yes,
she goes into the wasteland with this very black and white worldview. She comes into my vault, kidnaps my dad, threatens people I care about. So she's just raider scum from the wastelands and a bad person, and I'm going to have to fight to get my dad back. And her dad is the most important person to her. And then as in her journey in the wasteland, she's unpacking the dogma she was raised with, realizes, oh, wait, our entire way of life, we've been training to get out onto the vault and Reclamation Day. And oh, that already happened. The NCR was already a thing. So what were we really doing out here? People can live on the wasteland. They lied to us about that. The radiation's not too bad to survive out here. Moldaver, in the end, is actually just trying to provide free power for the wasteland. And her dad's the one who's trying to subjugate people and oppress people. And I saw a comment which pointed out his hypocrisy pretty well, where after Vault 4, she makes Maximus give back the power core and was like, if my dad saw me decimate an entire community, he'd be heartbroken. Even though that's exactly what he did.
He blew up a goddamn state.
With a nuke, yeah. So by the time she gets to Moldaver, her black and white worldview has been completely shattered. So it's not that shocking to her in the end. Well, I mean, it is shocking to her, but it's also like, you know, my experiences have taught me that nothing what I grew up with thinking was concrete is actually. It's a lot more complicated and morally ambiguous than I ever thought. And she sees that, oh, in this situation, my dad's more the bad guy. And that sucks. But she, like, if she just jumped from A to B, she wouldn't have had the mental capacity to understand that. I feel like she would have just, she needed that journey across the wasteland to see the moral ambiguities of the world.
For sure. I think that's the strong point of this show, too, where it's like, and I have in recent reviews, I think, it was for Invincible Season 2, where like the cohesive story was weaker. But in Fallout, I think the strength of Fallout, even in the main games, is the world building. Yeah. And you need that world building to, if you're following a protagonist, for her to go on this emotional and, I guess, psychological journey in order for her to grow as a person. And I think they did a phenomenal job, and for her to sort of, like if it was Lucy still in the vault and she found out what her dad did, she might have even sided with her dad at one point.
She tried to rationalize.
But she's gone on this journey. Yeah.
I have no doubt she tried.
However, I don't know if I would ever side with one of my parents if they blew up the other parent with a nuke. I feel like that would be like, I don't know about that.
Yeah. But I can also see his argument maybe holding some water to her earlier on in their journey, where it was like, well, she ceased to be your mother when she put you and her brother in danger by taking you out of the vault. And I was just protecting you by bringing you back. I can see that getting to her earlier on.
Yes.
Until she sees what the NCR was all about, and that there were thriving communities out there, and that her mom was taking her to one. She wasn't putting her in danger. But naive Lucy wouldn't know that. She would just naively believe what my dad says. Yes, she was taking me into danger.
Yeah. And I love how we're finding out this storyline's reveal with the past reveal as well of what happened with the bombs. And just the line, it literally made me feel cold when the ghoul's wife said, not if we drop the bomb first. I was like, oh my God, these disgusting, like,
capitalism.
Higher up people. Capitalism, baby. If we're going to blow up our own country.
If we can win in the long term by wiping out every other faction and just outlasting them, sure, let's drop the bomb first. Guarantee our wins.
It's just insane. And Walton Goggins' performance in that scene where he's like trying not to freak out, but he's just still heartbroken that his wife, the person he loves, is willing to sacrifice the entire world to get a one-up on being rich or something. It's crazy.
Speaking of Walton Goggins,
I love him so goddamn much. He was a sell for me to watch the show. I was like, oh, I'm not really into Fallout. I don't know if I watch this. Oh, one of the main actors is Walton Goggins, one of the most underappreciated and underrated actors in Hollywood. Hell yeah. I love that guy. He's great in The Hateful Eight. He's great in Django Unchained. He's great in everything he does.
Yeah.
And I loved him in this. He just got to play Walton Goggins, or his cowboy version of himself. He's so phenomenal and charismatic. He's one of the best gray characters out there, where he does terrible things, but he's so charismatic that you love him at the same time.
Yes, that's basically how I define the ghoul. And what I enjoyed about the ghoul was that even though you see a lot of his backstory, they leave enough mystery in the middle to just let you imagine all the atrocities he experienced to turn him from white hat cowboy Cooper Howard to gunslinging bounty hunter, jaded murder hobo.
Yes. Yeah. Like, it'll probably be explored more in season two of like how he became a ghoul. But I do because like, we still don't know why.
Yeah, but how, I do like that they kind of left that bit up. You're like, okay, well, we know who he was before, we know who he is now, and we know where his mind was at during the apocalypse. He was already getting jaded. But we also didn't see that transition. And that's why one of the most impactful scenes of the whole show for me was when he stops into the, I think it was the Super Duper Mart, the drug harvesting place.
Yes.
And then he finds a tape of one of his old movies. And that was just like a very weird scene for me to comprehend, because 200 years into the future, a lot of this stuff has survived. But in the context of this world, how many people could pick up a tape like that, throw it on, and be able to see any version of themselves, how they used to be 200 years ago? Because I'm sure most of the ghouls out there, they don't have pictures or memories. It, by virtue of him being a famous Hollywood actor who had a legacy he left behind, he could see that footage of himself. And just something about that is just very poignant to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt the same pretty much, where I kind of sympathize with him because he's this rugged, you know, somewhat heartless ghoul now in the future, but and he sees an old version of himself that he definitely misses, of like a simpler time, the golden age of when he was just making movies, had a family. It was funny because I was wondering what his goal was for the whole season, because I just assumed his family, I assumed his family was gone as well, until the very end where his reveal, and it's delivered perfectly. Or he's like, where's my goddamn family?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, is family still alive? Like, there's so much of the show that I love. It's so good that they, and I'm glad they didn't reveal so much so we could get a season two.
Yeah. See, that's interesting to me because Janie was with him when the bombs fell. I understand him not knowing where his wife is, but now I got to see what happened to Janie now that you... He's implying she might be out there somewhere, but also he was with her.
So my theory is he went to a vault that his wife was at to like bring Janie with them, and then they didn't let him in. Or, but no, it's also 200 years, but he was in the grave. I don't know.
It, but like, you still that's know where like, that
I'm
would
assuming.
Be,
yeah. Yeah, I'm assuming they went into a vault and he got kicked out at some point or wasn't allowed in and became a ghoul in the wasteland. So that's what I assume happened. But, you know, Jonathan Nolan's a smarter writer than I am, so he'll probably come up with, like, a more intriguing way for that to be, or it'll be that simple. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we haven't talked much about Maximus. I'm assuming he's the one you're not a fan of.
I don't like him. No. I'm not saying he was poorly written. I think he was written well for the character he's supposed to be. Everything about him makes sense. Me personally, I just don't like him. Just as a character. I don't know what Lucy sees in him besides the fact that he is very, you know, attractive and physically fit and very protective.
I can tell you about that.
I don't know. From the first two episodes, they did not really sell me well on him. It was when his friend got promoted and he had a whole like hissy fit about it. I was like, okay, you're kind of being a baby. And then first of all, the Squire and Knight thing is really funny to me. Cause I came home from work and I was like, God damn it. I still got to deal with Squire and Knights. That's pretty funny.
I also love how that was the explanation for inventory.
Yeah. Yeah, they the giant bag.
They just literally get guys to carry the giant bag of stuff they pick up.
It's a huge bag.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's just like the very first mission to his knight is like badly hurt. However, that scene is really funny because he sees the bear. It's such a video game moment, too. When you're, like, underprepared and you see, like, a boss, you're like, fuck, 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 fuck. He's running away. I was dying laughing. Yeah. It was so funny. And then he's just, like, willing to kill the knight after the first mission, even though the knight isn't a part of, doesn't want to be a part of the Brotherhood or whatever. So it's just, like, little stuff like that that make me not like the character, just on a personal thing.
Yeah. Well, however, I'm going to come to his...
wasn't written poorly. You can come to his defense.
Yeah, I'll come to his defense and say that that was the entire point of Maximus, was that...
For sure.
Is that you're not supposed to like him at the beginning, because he is pretty irredeemable at the start. He does throw a hissy fit when his friend gets actually promoted, enough so that you think maybe he did actually put the bear trap in their boot. And
that's the one gripe I have with the show, is that they revealed that it was that he did it himself, like the friend did it themselves, yeah, to get out of it. I was like, no, I wish you never told me who did it. So I thought it was really compelling that it was Maximus who did it, and we just never find out. I was like, oh man, I wish I didn't know that. But
yeah. But I like that they had enough doubt at the beginning, because he was such a baby about it, like you said. And yeah, then he does get to, he swears allegiance to his knight, who, despite being a prick, maybe you should still be loyal to your knight. But then again, the knight does tell him, oh, well, you messed up. I'm going to get you killed. And so then he's like, nah, I'm just letting you die. But what I like about Maximus from then, okay, sorry. And then he gets worse. He gets his new knight. He gets his new squire, who is the guy who bullied him at base. And then he starts messing with him, making him climb up the tree. He immediately starts abusing his power as soon as he gets the knight, as the squire. Got to get these terms straight. But then he turns a corner. He starts feeling bad about it. And what I liked about Maximus was that he basically, through the power of make-believe and pretending in his mind he is Knight Titus, ideal warrior for the Brotherhood of Steel, who will do what the Brotherhood in my life will not, and help the people of the Commonwealth and be the hero, not the Commonwealth, but I guess that's Fallout 4, but be the hero the people of the Wasteland can look up to. And then he actually does become that guy. Because he's a liar, he's very flawed in his approach, but just believing himself to be the ideal hero, Knight Titus, he actually became that later on, especially when he started getting feelings for Lucy, this just really sincere woman who put her faith in him, and he felt way too guilty to let her down, no matter what, and she's looking up to him the way he wants to be seen, as a knight in shining armor. And he feels obligated to not let her down that way. And that makes him a better person, is trying to live up to his own ideal. So even though he starts out, like, Maximus is a dick person, Knight Titus is actually decent. And that's kind of who he ends up becoming. He reconciles those personalities in the end. So that's what I like about him. He's just very morally gray that way. And that's why, like you were saying, what does Lucy see in him? Personally, she's just attracted to the knight in shining armor. She never even had to see him. Did you see her eyes light up? She's like, is that a knight? Just flying into Philly. And yeah, she just likes
the idea. The other two people are like looking at her like, are you serious right now? We're getting shot up. No, I hear what you're saying, and like his progression is good. It just soured my taste of that character from beginning to end. And like he slowly got better. However, I did find his vault montage very funny, of him just relaxing and
eating popcorn, putting on robes.
Yeah. Like all he's doing. All he's doing is watching a waterfall, and he's having the time of his life. He could not be more happy. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Eats caviar for the first time.
Better. Yeah. Yeah. I just think it's like it is just like a personal thing with me. Like when him and Lucy finally kissed, I was just kind of like, eh. Oh, whatever. I don't know. Maybe it's because I love Lucy so much and I'm so on Maximus. I was like, she could do better. But there's really nobody else in the wasteland that's like good enough for her. It's not like, I don't feel the same with like a Rey and Kylo situation. Does not feel forced. I can feel the progression throughout the show.
Yeah.
Funny enough, I don't know.
Take if funny that they're just a better version of Rey and Kylo.
They are. It's pretty funny. Maybe the sequel trilogy should have been a TV show. Anyway, actually, no.
Look, I think a lot of flaws would have been ironed out with a bit more time, though.
That's true. You imagine if they did that? Like, we're doing a sequel trilogy, but it's a TV show.
Yeah,
I've been ballsy.
World building was one of the weakest aspects of that. I think they would have fixed it with a show.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian. Yeah, the Mandalorian is actually filling in the gaps that I wanted to see in the movie. So that's your answer.
True. It was fun. I don't know if you felt this comparison as well, but when Lucy, like when they're in the test subject waiting room for Vault 4, and Lucy just looks at Maximus and says, "You want to have sex?" He's like, "You mean with my cock?" Great. I don't know why. That felt like very much like a Poor Things scene. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It felt like it was ripped straight from that world and that movie and just like thrown in there. I was like, this is so Poor Things. I don't know why. It just,
it's like, well, I would, but that thing might happen where my cock explodes.
Yeah. It's
like that's supposed to happen.
Oh yeah. Ideally. And she's like, yeah, ideally. Yeah. That should happen every time.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is so awkward, but it just fits. I don't know why.
Awkward humor.
Mm-hmm.
I just like how awkward and direct she is with people.
Yeah.
There's no BS with
Lucy's,
her.
Lucy's so good, and Ella plays her so well. And I will have to take back what I said before the show came out, where I said I was worried about the show because it all came out at once. And I've on record said I get worried when new modern shows come out all at once because they're not as good as week to week. Am I saying this show would have been better on a week-to-week schedule? Probably not. I think binging it was still as good. Weirdly enough, at the end of episode one, they did like a trailer for the rest of the season. Never seen that before.
I've seen that a few times. Not on a binge show.
Like a coming up. Yeah, it's crazy. Not during the like end of the show. I've never seen that, where they had like a end credit trailer for the rest of the show. I've never seen that during it. I've seen it like Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon do that online with like their YouTube channel, but not like at the very end of a show.
I also have to skip back a sec because I just thought of a funny point to counter you, where you said there's nobody else in the wasteland who Lucy deserves. What about Chet?
Oh, her cousin? I mean, you know. He's hooked up now with the one-eyed lady who,
evil
tried to conceive with, and then she, gave birth right away, which, fun fact for all the people out there, is a good way to induce labor. So that scene is, in reality. How do I know that? Friends. That's right. I get all my, pregnancy facts from the little TV show called Friends. Ever heard of it? It's probably not old, you know, but anyway.
Actually, I should have realized, even like, this is another thing I wasn't consciously aware of at the time, but I'm like, you know, Steph kind of sucks sleeping with her best friend's cousin, who she was also like, Lucy was kind of dating Chet for a while, but like, you're trying to sleep with your best friend's cousin.
Nah.
Like, as soon as your husband died. Like, that's a hint. And then she's like, oh, you're from Vault 31. Oh, yeah, you're probably evil then. I also like how she tries to subtly influence Norman to just murder the Raiders. Do it. They deserve it. Yeah.
I'm surprised they're still not dead. Oh, wait, they are dead. What am I talking about? They all died. What am I talking? I completely forgot about it, because it was just passed over so quickly. Yeah. It wasn't Norm that killed him, right? It was Steph?
Steph, or maybe Betty.
We don't know. Another mystery. All we know is it's not Norm. I know he wanted to do it, but...
I did really like that line, though, when when Norm accuses Chet of being a coward, and then he says, well, we all are. That's why we live in a vault.
Yeah, that's
also,
a very good line.
I also
line.
Like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
I don't know why one of the funny, like, non-funny things I found was during the opening when the nukes were going off and the one family were trying to get into the rich guy's vault. It's like, we have no room. And then immediately knocks him out. I was like, holy fuck, we're already going into chaos. It's like, Jesus, immediately. Dude. It was crazy. Yeah.
I think one of the big themes about this show is just unpacking your own society's dogma and the ideologies. Because, like, Maximus and Lucy are driven by their own ideologies, which they were both in cults, which is just, it's hilarious that Maximus called out Vault 4 as a cult, whilst also, yeah. Like, he has to be consciously aware on some level that he's
in the cult.
Yeah. That the Brotherhood of Steel is a cult, too. But he can pick out cults everywhere else, but...
Yeah.
And, yeah, Lucy's vault is also pretty culty. Not so much at first, but once you get more into their belief system, and like Norm did and saw how things were going out, like, what was it? When things get glum, vote 31.
Yeah.
Just even those little things just baked into their culture that, wait, what do you mean we've never had an overseer from Vault 33? They've all been 31 and nobody questions that stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because nobody wants to know the truth. Like, yeah. Everything's working out. You don't want to know the truth. I love, was it Davey, the guy with the mustache? He's like, I'm going to vote for Betty. Like, tells like both of them, and he's like, it's okay. It's fine. You don't have to tell me. It's okay.
They're both just he's trying to justify it.
And then one, I like how the one guy running for it votes for Betty too. He's like, oh, what the hell? I'm not cut out for this.
Yeah.
What was it? Just the other guy was like, you ran a good campaign. Yeah, I printed like 10 posters.
I guess that's enough.
It's like a high school, like, class president type thing. It's like, yeah, I made at least 10. I got that vibe,
yeah. Yeah, that's true. But in terms of the ideologies, I do think it was an interesting choice that even by the end of the show basically says the ideologies themselves aren't wrong. Because, or basically, it's trying to say that the way you grew up is going to shape your worldview forever. Because Lucy and Maximus aren't fundamentally different by the end. They still believe in the ideals they were brought up with, but they see by the end of the show how both their cultures went wrong. Lucy's like, yeah. Well, it's like, well, Vault Tech were a bunch of awful people with an awful plan, but the society I grew up in was decent, all things considered. We had the resources we needed to survive, and I grew up happy and content, and, you know, maybe that's okay, minus the corporate management conspiracy and oppressiveness. And Maximus is like, you know what, the Brotherhood of Steel, they've got the resources to do good. We have done some decent things, and with better leadership, knights who are maybe more idealistic and less jaded, we could be a real force for good in the Commonwealth. So they both still think the way they grew up was correct, but not the way they went about it, which is an interesting way to fall by the end.
Yeah, it's a very interesting character study to both of them. And it's you believe it throughout the whole progression of the show. Yeah, really good show. I'm glad you forced me to watch it. One of those things. I feel like you've done that twice, and they've both been successful. It was this and Blue Beetle. You know, like, Blue Beetle's, like, if looking back on it, it is just, like, a mid-DC movie, but it's so much fun. So, but this is, like, a phenomenal TV show.
I also made you watch Shogun, which we're talking about next episode.
You kind of did, and then also people at work were making me do it as well. So, yeah.
Peer pressure.
Mm-hmm. It works, kids.
Given the peer pressure on occasion.
Give in to peer pressure. Also, capitalism. If you if the world won't destroy itself, you start it. That's the message of Vault Tech.
Which, okay, I do have to comment on that bit, though, because I have a few thoughts. In the 30 years of the Fallout franchise, one of the big things has always been nobody knows who dropped the bombs first. That's never been confirmed in the last 30 years of this franchise until this show. And I know a lot of people are upset about that. But also, I saw a good point online that pointed out that that's not necessarily true either, though. Some people think it might end up, Joker's origin story from The Dark Knight sort of situation where the show keeps going and they keep giving us new explanations every year to keep the mystery. Just because Vault-Tec said they were going to drop the bomb doesn't mean they actually were the ones to do it. It just means they were thinking about doing it. So,
yeah,
I'm curious to see
as someone who's not a Fallout fan, I think it's a good reveal, but also that's me coming without any biases. And I would understand like a 30-year-old mystery of something that's, you know, been kept a secret for a while and is revealed in a phenomenal TV show. How horrible for the fan base to find out this way. But, you know,
yeah.
I think it's a good reveal, but also doesn't, you're right, it doesn't fully tell you that they actually did.
Yes, and other people also are having a theory, which I'm just kind of hopping onto the theory train at this point, but other people, potential spoilers for the rest of the show, I don't know. It's not anything concrete by any stretch, but some people are thinking that this Vault-Tec plan is just one step of the Enclave's master plan, that maybe Vault-Tec is a subsidiary of the Enclave, who they barely mentioned in this show. That's what Wilsig was from. The guys who make all those dogs and incinerate puppies and, you know, the Enclave.
Right, yeah. Evil. I was wondering who they were.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that fucked me up. Okay. The puppy abuse in the show, I was not a fan of, but it's a terrible world.
Yeah. Well, the Enclave are the worst of the worst because they're the surviving members of the U.S. government. Vault-Tec is like the capitalism, right? They're like they're the business people of the world.
Yeah.
But the Enclave. Yeah. The Enclave was like the U.S., the United States government's plan for survival after a post-apocalyptic fallout. Hmm. And the remnants of the Enclave are kind of spread throughout the world. The Brotherhood of Steel is one of their chief enemies.
Yeah, it's their enemies. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Enclave and the Brotherhood of Steel hate each other.
Huh. I kind of assumed through the show that there was like an underling of the, like they were given the assignment to capture that scientist for the Enclave.
No, Brotherhood of Steel and Enclave are enemies.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But Vault-Tec and Enclave may or may not be allied. I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Because people are pointing out there was that one shadowy figure watching the board meeting. And also the idea of like Bud Askins, like, okay, so your master plan for corporate management to take over the world was put in Vault 31, 32, 33. You'd think they may be in, I don't know, Vault 1 or something if it was the big plan.
Yeah.
It just seems a random number to throw the master plan into, right?
Yeah, it's very interesting to see where the rest, or where season 2 goes, and I'm very excited for it.
Also, I don't know if you probably didn't catch this reference, but Lucy's father in the end, that city he shows up to is New Vegas.
I'm so stupid. I thought it was Seattle.
Because it kind of looks like a space needle, yeah.
The tall building looked like a space needle, and then What I love that Amazon's been doing is just letting the end credits play out. And then I saw the sign of New Vegas, and I was like, oh, I'm stupid. I said that to myself, like, of course it's New Vegas. That's an awesome Easter egg. But yeah. Was it?
There's also been a lot.
Sorry, it's just Lucy's dad walking through the desert again.
Yeah.
Dune vibes again. I wonder Dune if anyone brought again. That. Do you think he's a fan of the new Dune movies? Or do you think he, like, is not that huge on them?
Probably. I think I heard him say recently that, or he was talking about how awful the reviews were for that first Dune one.
Right.
That he did in the 80s. Which, so, I don't know. If he enjoys Dune at all, he probably likes the new ones. I'd have to see on that.
Yeah. He doesn't seem like a controversial guy. From what I know.
I know him mostly from Twin Peaks. I haven't seen the old Dune, but I've seen most of Twin Peaks. Yeah.
He's in How I Met Your Mother as well.
Yeah?
Plays like a rich, arrogant guy. I can't remember
his name. Oh, the captain.
The captain. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, whose face was he? Oh, that guy.
Yeah, the giant poster where it's like eyes and then the smile.
Right. Forgot about the captain. Let's see. Anything else in my notes to get through? Special effects, great. I love the sound effects in the show, too. The way the guns sound, the hydraulics and clanking of the power armor. That's all really immersive, too.
I heard it was all ripped from the games. Like, it was a one-for-one, which is good.
Wow.
Or close to it.
I also like its indictment of Hollywood, that they're just a bunch of out-of-touch people full of communists and...
Yeah.
Anti-American. Even though in this case they were kind of right. The government was corrupt and evil and... Yeah.
That's the message, everyone. Communists were right.
Or at the very least, capitalism wrong. Or very, don't believe all the propaganda you hear about the good of capitalism. Because actually, that is a big theme of this show, is that capitalism is an illusion. It's supposed to, by virtue of the system, have upward mobility. But really, it's just the powerful in charge are always in charge, and sometimes they let people rise up through the ranks just for the illusion of it, but really nothing ever changes. The powerful just stay powerful. And I think that's the most prevalent in the Vault storyline. It's like exactly that, because Norm figures out, wait a minute, Vault 31's always in power, and they give these elections as an illusion of, like, oh, maybe someone from 33 or 32 could win, but they never do. And people are just brainwashed to think they can be the leaders.
Yeah.
In a democratic system, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a very, very interesting different mix of messages throughout this show. I guess for like one more final gripe thing, I still don't understand what happened in 32. Like, did people from 31 just kill all the people in 32?
From my understanding of it, they were running out of resources and competing for survival in the vault. And then they found out about the 31 conspiracy. And that set everybody over the edge. They're like, wait a minute, so we can't trust any of our leadership anymore. And as we saw early on in the show, most of these vault community, or at least in these ones, they're a mix of different cultures. Like, there was a lot of people from Vault 31 living in Vault 33, just as I imagine there was a lot of 31ers living in 32. So they're having resource troubles coupled with, oh, like, half of us who've ever come in here are the enemy. So I think they ended up in a civil war situation and nobody made it out.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's true. I think that, like, it's not really a point to motion too, because I think it's also good we don't fully know what happened as well, because we're following the character's perspective. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I like about the show, because it allows you to kind of sometimes come up with your own theories, but keeps them in sort of like a reality at the same time. It's not, for lack of a better term, it's not really edging you in that way.
In terms of criticism of the show, I had some problems with the writing. There was a lot of convenience in the plot where it's like, oh, well, I don't know how big an area we're working in, but main characters always just seem to find each other. And I'm like, how did you get here? Oh, well, whatever. And sometimes main characters would just be really dumb for no good reason. But sometimes I waved that away as like, well, you're Wastelanders. Someone like Maximus maybe wouldn't know to be super smart in this situation. Like, I've got knowledge, he doesn't. But sometimes when Lucy was being overly naive, it's like, okay, well, don't you know any human nature? Or is like everyone just so good that you can't even fathom someone trying to trick you here? Like, sometimes the writing was just too convenient, but that didn't take me out of that much. The dialogue was also just okay. Like, there were a couple amazing lines here and there, most of them by the ghoul, but not exceptional in that. Most of what I love about this show is just the performances, the general character arcs, the production design and production value. There's a lot of great about it.
Yeah. There's a few like character choices or just like little things like that. I agree with you on that just don't fully make sense. Like, the one major one I can think of is like the ghoul killing a bunch of the knights at the end. Like he has these bullets now that can penetrate the armor where he couldn't do that with the Maximus fight or plot maybe didn't have the bullet. Yeah. That was the only like plot convenience one. I was like, okay, that's interesting. Now I expect you to kill every knight you come up upon, but,
Yeah. Well, it's because the audience hadn't had that bit of foreshadowing about the armor being defective yet. We didn't get that till later.
That's crazy.
I like how he meets the guy who invented the T-45 armor. He's like, oh, you're the guy who did that. That got a lot of friends of mine killed when we lost Alaska.
Yeah, that was really awkward.
yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's Buddy, right? I'm pretty sure.
Bud Askins, yeah.
Yeah, Bud Askins. Yeah. Yeah, overall, fantastic show. I'm really glad I watched it.
I didn't love it as much as I was hoping, but I did really enjoy it. So for me, it was, you know, on my scale of 1 to 6, it's a 4. It's pretty good. I quite enjoyed it.
You have a 1 to 6 scale?
Yeah, I don't really use it on this show so much, but it's kind of 1 to 6. It's my review scale is at the bottom is don't bother. The first up is
you just had to be different, eh? You couldn't do a 1 to 5, a 1 to 10.
Okay, so the bottom is don't bother. My next up is if you're bored. My mid one is worth a watch. Pretty darn good. Must see and watch ASAP. This is pretty darn good. And that's why I don't advertise it as a 1 to 6 scale usually, because it's just I'm just telling you what I think, and it's pretty good.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. And I think season 2 has potential to be even better. I think if you can keep what works here and then keep pushing it forward, season 2 could be perfect.
Yeah. I think this is for like a starting off of its own thing in world building and just the whole show. So I think it's like an 8, like a solid 8 out of 16. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, it's just the little things that like pull it down sometimes that we talked about. But overall, I really enjoyed it. And this, again, coming from a not Fallout fan, which is, I think, is very impressive.
Yeah, and I think that's where I'm at, too, because maybe my expectations were a little too high going in. You had no expectations and it blew you away. Mine were maybe a little too high and it didn't. It didn't live up.
Yeah.
I didn't love it as much as I wanted to, but I did really like it. Like, it didn't let me down.
Yeah. I remember watching the first trailer, like, months ago, and I was like, I'm not watching this. And then everybody told me it was great. I was like, okay. I guess I'll watch it.
All right. So, that's Fallout. Do you have any questions of the week?
I do. With The Last of Us and the Fallout TV show being so successful, what video game adaptation in the future, or that hasn't been announced yet, are you excited for? For me personally, Amazon is doing a God of War adaptation. After seeing Fallout, I am very hyped for it, and I have more faith now than I did before watching Fallout, which is weird because it's not, I don't think it's by the same showrunner, but it's the same production company. Or the same producers, not production company.
So let me just reiterate again. Did you say next video game adaptation or next video game show adaptation?
Adaptation.
I'm not going to cheat. I don't want to be a square and say The Last of Us Season 2, because that's just cheating. But upcoming, I don't know. I'm blanking right now. If they did an Assassin's Creed show, I think that'd be great. It's my favorite game franchise.
That would be really good.
I'd be super hyped about that. Because I think that'd be really cool, because every season you could focus on a different assassin. You could keep the main, like, the main modern character going forward, but, like, the historical plots could be different every season.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I remember watching the movie and thinking, like, this is okay. Like, all the assassin stuff was pretty good. Just the modern-day stuff I don't like. But the modern-day stuff was always the weakest part for the Assassin's franchise, especially after the trilogy. Yeah.
It's the part nobody really cares about.
Yeah. So I think a show would be pretty sick. Upcoming so far, apparently Arcane Season 2 is coming out this year. I haven't watched the first one, but I should.
Me neither. I don't even
another
know
Another Tomb Raider movie.
Another one? Is it another one with in the new franchise or just a reboot?
I don't know, actually. Let me do a quick Google search for this. If it's like Alicia Vikander again. Oh, it's an animated thing.
Okay.
It looks like.
Sure.
Interesting. Who's voicing her? Haley Atwell.
Okay.
Interesting.
That's promising.
There's the Knuckles show. Probably won't watch that. Haven't watched any of the Sonic stuff. But that third movie's coming up. They just announced Keanu Reeves is playing Shadow, which I think is really funny.
They're probably doing a Super Mario Brothers sequel.
Probably. There's God of War. There's Horizon from the Horizon Forbidden West games. And
the Horizon.
Zero Dawn. I've only played the second one, but that's a good world. That's an interesting world building if they do that right.
Yeah, I haven't played either of those, but they look like really interesting game worlds.
They...
Oh, Mass Effect. What if they did a Mass Effect show? That would be so good.
It'd be so good, but it'd be so tough, too. I feel like it would only work if it was, like a Bandersnatch thing where it was super interactive, so, like, people could make choices. But, like...
I guess that's the problem with Mass Effect, is everyone's stories are so different.
Yeah.
Even if they announced a main Shepard, people would get pissed if it wasn't... Like, oh,
if it wasn't the girl shepherd or the male shepherd, people would get pissed either way.
Like, they cast a male shepherd, how dare they? Like, even just the casting would get people pissed on that.
Mm-hmm. That's why they should film it twice. They should do a Paragon, like, male shepherd and a renegade female shepherd. I think it'd be sick. They just did back-to-back, and they're just filming two shows at once. But yeah.
That'd be cool.
Oh, Horizon's a Netflix adaptation? Oh. I am less excited now. I mean, they could do it.
I'm kind of excited
for with The Witcher.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of excited if anything's on Prime now, because Prime is pouring a lot of money into their stuff, and a lot of them are good.
Mm-hmm. Prime's doing a phenomenal job.
You get a Rings of Power every once in a while that's super high budget and fails to deliver, but...
Yeah.
A lot of their stuff. I think they've had more hits than misses in terms of original.
I agree.
Big budget content.
Yeah.
Disney
and
Plus
Rings of Power,
and Netflix,
like, not all
are both
of it was bad, I will say.
Yeah. Disney Plus and Netflix are both consistently mediocre. Like, they don't piss me off constantly, but they also... Yeah. Like, they can either be great or just mediocre. I'm rarely ever, like, angry about them, but...
Mm-hmm.
Their hits are less than they used to be.
I'm excited for them to cancel the Halo show. They won't, but...
I don't know. People don't seem to like season two. Is it actually that popular? I never...
Well, it's weird because, like, the reviews for it are positive, but I think it's all the reviews from, like, people who don't play the games.
Well, see, that's the problem, right? Because I'm more in tune with the, like, nerd side of the internet, and they all say it sucks, but I'm also on the side of the internet with all the gamers and stuff who were comparing it. I'm not on the internet with the normies who have nothing to compare it against. So
actually, let me look up Halo season two reviews, because people apparently like season one, who were the normies. Yeah, still 80% Rotten Tomatoes. No, 61.
Two?
Oh, wait, that's the audience score. Yeah, 80% apparently. Odd.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get how you can review a Halo show and have Master Chief not be in his armor for three episodes straight and still like it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's so my picks: Assassin's Creed or Mass Effect, and you're going God of War.
God of War. Mass Effect would be so cool, though. Oh my
but
god!
They couldn't do it. You're right.
It's so tough.
As soon as you said that, I knew you were right. You can't please anyone with a show like that.
They could try. I would love to see them try.
The only way to do Mass Effect is to do. It just set it in the world of Mass Effect.
Yeah, it couldn't be. It
can't be about Shepard. Yeah, it just has to be literally anybody else.
Yeah. Tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh well.
It's smarter than us. Think of a way to do it.
Just redo Mass Effect Andromeda, but make it good.
Sure.
I never played that, but I heard it was garbage. Anyway. You can find me at Ryan Walker Official on YouTube, TikTok, and on Instagram.
And you can find me on YouTube, TikTok, and on Instagram at ThoughtPlane Media. Also, check out the Close Up with Ryan and Joe Facebook page for latest updates on the show. If you listen to us in audio, check out our YouTube channel. And if you're on YouTube, find us anywhere you get your favorite podcasts. We hope to see you on the next Close Up with Ryan and Joe, where we review Shogun. Till next time.
Okie dokie.